We'll now open our Bibles to Acts chapter 8 and read our scripture verses for today's sermon. Again, Acts chapter 8, we're going to do verses 26 through the end to verse 40. Okay, we'll read these verses responsively, and I'll begin. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We'll now hear today's message by Pastor Steve.
Happy Sunday. Telling others the good news about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as this year we devote ourselves to praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests for all the Lord's people, help us not neglect to listen to your Holy Spirit. Remind us of the power of the gospel this morning. Kindle in our hearts your desire that all people may hear and believe the good news of the gospel. Clothe me by your grace to preach, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, into Acts. Let's take a quick recap. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with fire at Pentecost. They preached the gospel. Thousands repented and were baptized. And overnight, the church was born. But just as things seemed poised for exponential growth, everything pivoted. Stephen, a leader in the young church, was dragged into the street and stoned to death. A great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. In a moment, their world was chaos. And we should know this is spiritual conflict. It erupts with no warning. But these people were not taken off guard. Like our kids showed us, they were wearing their armor. They were ready. So when the conflict came, they rolled with it. And they preached the gospel wherever they went. And one of them, named Philip, he preached the gospel in Samaria. The people there believed his message. They were baptized, both men and women. And just like that, the church became an international movement from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And what we see is that hardship and persecution did not derail God's plan. It rather provided the very opportunity to carry out God's will on the earth. We need to remember Jesus gave a rough sketch of God's plan in Acts 1:8. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And here we see it. Jerusalem, check. Judea and Samaria, check. Ends of the earth, almost. The stage began all those years ago when a Jewish refugee preached the gospel to an Ethiopian national treasurer. Our story today. So God sent an angel with a message to Philip. "Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. You have an appointment. You got to be there at noon. So get going." And you can imagine Philip. He's a refugee. He got scattered because of persecution, found himself preaching the gospel in Samaria. He's got a big church to take care of. There's a lot of things to do. He's got to move his family to Samaria so he can build up the church. He's got to find a house. He's got to find employment. But when God called an audible on the field, Philip didn't argue. He changed his mind. He hoofed it. He had just gone up to Samaria. Now he hoofed it all the way back down into Judea, south to the desert road. Now, he didn't know why he was there. He didn't know what he was supposed to look for. But he was obedient to the message from the angel. He trusted God would surely reveal the purpose soon. In the meantime, check out the desert scenery. Now, meanwhile, God was also working in a parallel, in a totally different person, an Ethiopian eunuch. This man was an important official in charge of all the treasury of his queen. He had been worshiping the Lord in Jerusalem. Now that is a long commute for worship. Ethiopia to Jerusalem. In those days, Ethiopia was everything south of Egypt. It represented the whole end of the earth. And this guy traveled on the Sabbath to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. And now he's heading back home in his carriage. And he has a rare and costly scroll of the prophet Isaiah with him. He spared no expense in worshiping the Lord. And now he's reading the scroll aloud as the carriage rolled along the road, trying to understand it. And the Spirit told Philip, "Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it." This is a command from the Spirit of God. In Greek, it could be read like, "Stick to that chariot. Glue yourself to it. Join up with it. Associate with it." And God didn't say, "Why?" Philip didn't ask. "Why, God? I don't know those people. They don't know me." God didn't tell him why he was there, who was in the chariot. Nothing. Philip had to listen to the Spirit of God and obey without the details. He had to join up with the total strangers in that chariot. And I'm sure it was stressful, especially because that's a vehicle and he's just hoofing it. But he ran up. He ran up to the chariot. And while he's running, he's hearing something. Somebody's reading the Bible. What a sight it must have been. This ragtag Jewish refugee running alongside this chariot, and he's eavesdropping. What is going on in there, guys? What's going on? While this powerful royal official is reading the book of Isaiah. Can you picture it? Now, Philip, after hearing that, he didn't wait for a sign. He didn't avoid the strangeness of the scene, nor was he intimidated by the official's position or the fact that he was a foreigner. There were so many excuses Philip could say, oh man, I can't get involved with this. But instead, Philip, hearing the words of Isaiah, butted right into the guy's business. Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch, how can I? Unless someone guides me. And so he opened the door, invited Philip in, and they began Bible study on the road. Since coming to Toledo, I've been really impressed by the commitment of our church members. We are sticking to it. We're staying near it. We're devoted. Sometimes I wonder, why are we so committed to this ministry? And God doesn't give detailed plan of instructions. Do this this day, do this day, do this day. We know the big picture. God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus wants us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So we're committed. We believe in this mission. We're sticking to it. But sometimes it feels like we're just running next to the chariot and we don't know what to do next. How long do I have to run? This is turning into a marathon. What's the next step? And in this passage I see from Philip, there are two things. First, we have to get quiet and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And two, we need to listen to what's going on right around me. So what is your chariot? Who do we need to be listening to? And are we engaging with them? Or are we just keeping pace outside the chariot, minding our own business? You do you, I do me. God, when he saved us, invited us and called us for the great purpose of participating in the kingdom ministry, not somewhere far over there, but right here, where he put us, where we're committed, where we're sticking it out. But to know what to do next, we got to listen. Praying is not just speaking out, but it's listening. And listening to the people around us. What was the Ethiopian official reading? Maybe the most famous passage in Isaiah, Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. It might be easy to think that an important official, a foreigner, a wealthy man, might have no interest in the God of Israel. He had his own world. He had his own culture, a position. What could an Old Testament prophecy mean to him? And even today, we might look at the world of Google and TikTok and think, is Scripture really relevant anymore? Why did this passage mean so much to him? One thing that stuck out to me in the passage was the way Luke continually refers to the man as a eunuch. He doesn't call him by his nationality or race, the Ethiopian, nor does he give him his work title or position. Oh, he was the royal treasurer, the royal official. He refers to him by his condition as a genderless person. He repeats eunuch many times in the passage. And we can understand the man worked for the queen, so he had to be made a eunuch. His sexual organs were removed. He was sterilized. He had wealth, he had influence, he had power, but he could not have a family of his own, no descendants of his own. He was basically property of the state. So when he read Isaiah and he heard about this suffering servant who was deprived of justice, who could not speak of his own descendants, who was taken from the earth, suddenly in this man's heart, something clicked. There's someone out there who's been there, who understands me. Someone can relate to my humiliation, to my otherness in this world as a freak, as a weirdo. And so we asked Philip, tell me please, who is he talking about? Himself or someone else? And what an opening that was. And Philip jumped on it and began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It's amazing what doors will be opened to preach the gospel if we're listening to those around us, the place we're already committed to daily. One person in the room was listening to her coworkers at work, and God opened the door for her to share the gospel with two of them this week. Classes began at UT last week. Students are there. Are we listening? Here's the one, how about in our own homes? I'm amazed what my kids are reading in the Bible, but am I making space to listen and engage them with questions? And all of these scenarios are people we can easily relate to. How much more the other, the foreigner, the genderless? We'll need to be ready to listen, but also to tell the good news about Jesus in that context, and that's what Philip did. He focused on Jesus. It is Jesus was that suffering servant. He's the one who was cut off from the earth, who could fully understand you. All our sufferings are human condition. No matter who we are, no matter what we've gone through, Jesus came to understand us and furthermore to save us from the oppression and power of sin and death. He came to open the way for us to experience the joy and purpose of new life with him. And this man did not say, Philip, you don't understand me. How could you know what I went through? No. And nor was he simply content with understanding. Oh, okay, now I get it. Faith moved him to respond. Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And they went down into the water. And he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, he was full of joy. This is the joy of the Lord that is available to anyone who is ready to receive it. But we should not be deceived into thinking there's some barrier between us and Jesus. There is no barrier because Jesus has accomplished it all. Whether it's our decision to be baptized or helping another, there is nothing standing in the way. Come to Jesus. This man's joy overflowed. We don't know what happened to the man after this. But it doesn't seem a coincidence to me that Ethiopia has a Christian majority population and an Orthodox Christian tradition going back to the 4th century. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. What a dynamic transition. And life is full of them. Transitions, events, some we plan, like when we get a new job, or we're going off to college, or moving into a new home. And others are things that happen to us, the death of a loved one, losing a job, having to move, or maybe being teleported 18 miles to Ashdod, like Philip. But we must know that the life God gives us is more than just going through these things and surviving hardships. It is not these things that give life meaning, nor is it the pursuit of success, wealth, or fun. The real life meaning and purpose found in each for us is preaching the good news about Jesus, seeing the joy of someone like this Ethiopian eunuch when their life is transformed by the power of the gospel. The gospel will reach the ends of the earth, and we've all been tasked to be part of it. And it starts right here, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as we listen to those around us for opportunities to tell the good news about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus who came to save us from our sins. We want to emphasize prayer this year. Teach us the posture of listening to your Holy Spirit and the posture of listening to those around us so that we may experience the great joy of life in preaching the gospel and seeing the transformed lives of those around us in this church, in our families, on this campus. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.